You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Well, good day, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. I did it the other way this time. How do you like that?
We want to make sure everything's equal, don't we?
No. Anyway, ladies are supposed to be first anyway, right? Ladies and gentlemen, right? Remember, that's the term that in the UK they know they're no longer going to use the term ladies and gentlemen, which makes me want to use the term all the more. How about you? Well, I must tell you that it is an exciting time for learning things that just weren't that evident before. On the next Apostle Paul show, it'll be the Word of the Most High show, I've got quite a treasure you're going to be amazed about. It just sort of happened today as I was looking for the Church of Ephesus. I'll give you a clue. It's about the Church of Ephesus. And boy, it certainly hit me heavy. It's amazing, you know, these people will try to, especially Jews, would try to defend the Apostle Paul, Jews and Catholics. It blows my mind, I must tell you, because the arguments they use, they just don't hold any water. After you've heard all what I've told you so far, or what the Father has told us, I believe. But the fellow said, oh, the Father's not telling you anything. And yet the Father confirmed that I should continue with this. Isn't that interesting? Of course, I'm self-deceived. Yeah, no, it's not likely. It's just too incredible, really. I'm not going to tell you all how I had this confirmed or any of these things, because it's a personal thing and I want to keep it between me and the Father. You know, the last Word of the Most High show blew me away because of the differences of the fruits of those two different gospels. The fruits of the Father's gospel, Jesus Christ's gospel, the Father in the flesh, produced everlasting, strong, healthy fruit. And I mean, it is amazing. Why would it be, really? It's not that amazing. Why would it surprise you that the Father, who is the best tree of all, so to speak, would produce the best fruit of all? I mean, come on, he created fruit. But, you know, I don't know if I should call him a tree, but you know what I'm trying to say. In other words, you knew he was going to produce good fruit. You knew his gospel was going to produce superior fruit. Whereas juxtaposed to Paul's gospel, Paul has, you know, he has produced, his gospel has produced more fruit than you could imagine, but the fruit isn't healthy. The fruit, if mixed with in the Father's vineyard, would taint the wine. It's amazing. It's amazing. I never would have dreamt any of this that is going on. It's just, I encourage you to think of what the fruits of the Father's gospel are and what the fruits of the Apostle Paul's gospel are. Because I hope you do realize that they're two different things. And I just can't imagine the Father. Let's look at this logically. And then we got to get on to our subject matter. I can't imagine that the Father came all the way down here to his children and did what he did for us, and then later changed his mind after he was risen and said, oh no, I made a mistake. I've got to send the Apostle Paul to Saul of Tarsus, the Jew. I've got to send him to the Gentiles. And believe me, Gentiles is a word that Yes, it can be used for Israelites, but then again, it can be used for the heathen, and it can be used for non-Israelites. That's the way the Jews use it, and that's the way the Apostle Paul uses it. Just remember this one thing. He said to the, in one of the verses, it's in, they're both in Romans, where he says to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And he says to the Jew first and then the Greek. Now, what's interesting about that is you could say, oh, see, no, those are our brothers who've been Hellenized in Greece. Well, I'm sure some of them were. But Paul was attacked by the Jews for bringing Greeks into the synagogue there with the Jews. And that's why they were uprising against Paul. Now, you could say, well, that's the Israelites. No, well, I'm sure there were some of them, but he was bringing the Greeks in. You see? Now, this is all amazing stuff. And when you look at Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul from an historical point, you'll find out he was never accepted by the disciples. Remember what we learned about 2 Peter? Supposedly, there is no epistle of 2 Peter. And I've read things lately about Paul that some of his epistles were pseudepigrapha. In other words, they're considered not real, that they were written by Paul's followers posthumously. And then on the next show, I'll give you something that a woman from Germany sent me. See, there's much more to know about. If you do not seek these things, you would not know them, correct? So I would have never known them, because I wouldn't be looking at the historical part of the Apostle Paul or anything, because I'm busy with so many things. But you can't just look at it from one aspect. You have to look at it from all aspects. See, once Paul admitted he was a liar and lied to advance the kingdom, and I will be showing you this. If you lie once, what prevents you from lying again? See, if he did have the dream, which I suspect highly, the dream about the sheet instead of Peter, which said, oh, you can eat all that stuff that the Father said you can't eat. And I know you're going to say, no, it wasn't talking about those things. It was talking about men, and men are like, you know, Cornelius. Well, that, I talked about the fruits of that dream. You think about that as well. What are the fruits of that dream? People are eating all those things now. How are our people looking after eating all those things? How is their health? I don't have to say a word. I mean, it's just amazing. It's not funny about our people's health. I'll tell you that right now. It's downright terrible and disgusting. But you don't think of these things, because you had it parroted. We all did. We all had it parroted to us that this is the perfect word of God, the infallible word of God. And I already explained that the Father could have made it that way if he wished to, if it was his will to make that the infallible word. You can bet, you can be sure that he would have made it that way. People changed things in the scriptures, and you know it and I know it. That doesn't destroy my faith in the Father in not even one jot or tittle, as he said when he was here. See, they made that statement so that you would never question. Because would you question the infallibility of the Father? Would you say that he's fallible? That he's not perfect? Of course you wouldn't. And you know he's not. That's the purpose of it. It cements whatever they put in there as like as if the Father put it in there. Use your common sense. That's all I'm saying to you. And you see, this means, this is exactly what goes on as you seek the truth sets you free. Free from lies. Free from doctrines of devils. Free from Jews trying to take over the narrative of Christianity, and did. You know who cares about the Father. You can see very clearly that if you listen to a lot of the brethren, there's not a lot of care about the Father. Now, I'm not accusing the brethren. I'm talking about the people that are in Christian Identity. There's a lot of fakers there. And I can tell they don't have a love for the Father. I've seen them not capitalize his name. I've seen all kinds of types of things that, you know, make me question. You see, I already showed you the Catholic Church, that all they care about is glorifying men, the church, the popes, which are men, and the goddess Diana, which is in the guise of Mary. They're not interested in the Father. They're not interested in his glory. I can see that. Now, the average Catholic, I can't tell you, but they're taught not to. They're taught to pay attention to Mary and the illustrious popes, etc., etc. So, enough said about that. That's not what this message is about. Let's go on to Fritz Springmeier's book, where we're learning many, many important things. We're on page 145. I'll take a sip of coffee and let you get that open. Incidentally, if you want to go to the newsletters on my site, you can find these books there to download them. I suggest you download a copy and keep it to yourself. Okay, the development of psych and education spins. Remember, we were talking last week about the spin principle and how they use these type of things. So if that one of them gets attacked too badly, it doesn't really hurt the whole picture for them. It just means they come up in another area with a new name and so on and so forth. Let us take, for instance, Karl Casimir Wundt. I guess you say Wundt. 1744 to 1784, a German professor and member of the Bavarian Illuminati. His son was Maximilian, 1787 to 1846. Whose son was Maximilian Wundt, 1832 to 1920. Funny that it says Karl Casimir Wundt died in 84. Unless this is the, I don't know. Because how could his son be born in 87 if he died in 84? I don't know exactly what this might be, just a typo. Anyway, the son's name was William Maximilian Wundt, you know, it's with a W, 1832 to 1920. Wilhelm Maximilian Wundt was influenced by Johann Hebar, who was a student of Hegelian dialectics. Hebar's mentors were Illuminati, Jew Illuminati. Wilhelm Maximilian Wundt then influenced Daniel Coit Gilman, and, you know what kind of name that is, and G. Stanley Hall, who were Americans who went to Germany to study. Daniel Coit Gilman and G. Stanley Hall were very influential to introduce Hegelian ideas into American education. John Dewey was influenced by Gilman and in turn influenced many other in the American educational system. I hope you're listening. Researchers have available the documents confiscated from the Bavarian Illuminati, Jewluminati. You've heard of that before, right? That lightning struck the man on the horse and they found the papers, okay? And published by the Bavarian government. These are in German, entitled Original Schriften des Illuminaten Ordens, Zweit Abteilung, see page 65. Also see Klaas Lance J. and Paoli Leone, The Leipzig Connection, Sheridan, Oregon, The Delphian Press, 1967. This book traces the Wundt linked to American education, Anthony C. Sutton. America's Secret Establishment, Boring, Oregon. CPA Book Publishing, 1986, page 81 through 111, and other pages. Does an excellent job of tracing how Hegelian ideas were propagated throughout the American educational system and psych departments by the order. This is just a single line of influence. When one considers some of the important U.S. educators that learned Hegelian ideas from Wundt, it is easy to picture how a vast network of interlocking schools of education and departments of psychology were established. Other Americans taught by Wundt and the number of doctorates they awarded up to 1948 are Sutton, America's Secret Establishment, page 91. And it says, you may have never heard of these people. I'm sure you've heard of the other fellow there. What was his name? John Dewey, right? With the Dewey Decimal System. But these names, J. McKean Cattle of Columbia University, 344 doctorates. E. W. Scripture of Yale University, 138. E. B. Tickener of Cornell University, 112. H. Gale of Minnesota University, 123, G. T. Patrick of Iowa University, 169, and C. H. Judd of the University of Chicago, 196. The development of the Church Universal and Triumphant Node. Another line of influence by the Jewluminati can be seen in the Jewlumination of the leaders of the Continental Masons in the 18th century. Illuminated puppets like the Portuguese Jew Martinez de Pasqualis went from Germany to France and initiated various people and started various secret illumined groups. As a result, the Grand Orient Masonry was illuminated, and so was co-masonry on the continent. The Illuminatus Giuseppe Mazzini, which means Mason. I'm going to look that up and make sure of that too. But that's what I was told. I'll look it up on the translator and we'll find out if that's exactly what it means. 1805 to 1872. That's Mazzini, M-A-Z-Z-I-N-I. No, that's not spaghetti. He belonged to, this guy lived in 1805 to 1872. And of course you've heard of him from the letter from Albert Pike, remember? About the three world wars? That's who Mazzini is. He belonged to several secret societies, the Scottish Rite, the Grand Orient, Carbonari, which is from Italy, Young Ireland, and the First Communist Internationale. Initiated Helena Petrova Blavatsky into Carbonism, a type of masonry, in 1856. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, she's a Jewess, by the way, and a Luciferian. She went by the initials HPB. She had already met the magician mentor of Mazzini in 1848 in Asia Minor. After her initiation by Mazzini, HPB claimed she was illumined by the hierarchy of the Great White Lodge in 1856. George Felt of the Hermetic Brotherhood of Luxor means light, also was a big influence on HPB. Luxor is in Egypt, and Luxor, lux means light,
Remember in the old radio shows and television shows, which were before my time, but I have seen, remember Lux soap? Dish, you know, it was for doing laundry. L-U-X, that means light. So you even have illumined laundry soap, laundry detergent. After 1866, she also was under the influence of the Mason hypnotist and spiritist Victor Michael. It's really Michal. It's M-I-C-H-A-L. Canon René Le Théophysime, 1921, page 14. H.P. Blavatsky was also initiated into the Order of Druzes, the adopted branch of the ancient and primitive rite of Masonry, 1877, and the rites of Memphis and Mizraim. In the Grand Orient Adoptive Masonry, she held the highest rank, a Crown Princess 12. With the help of the Rosicrucian masters, HPB started the Theosophical Society. The socialist and occultist Herbert Burroughs, a member of the Stella Matutina, remember that's one that Crowley, which we found out now, he's a Jew. He's of Jewish origin. He was part of Stella Matutina, and what that means is the Morning Star. And you know who they love that's called the Morning Star, and I'll give you a clue. It's not Jesus. A Masonic occult spinoff from the Golden Dawn, that's Stella Matutina, introduced the co-Mason Annie Besant to HBP in 1889. In 1887, HBP started a theosophical magazine called Lucifer the Lightbringer. Annie Besant took over the Illuminated Theosophical Society. Annie Besant bungled her job in creating a Christ. In the early 1920s. So her job was given to Alice Ann Bailey. Alice Ann Bailey, you know, we've talked about her, decided or rubber stamped revised secret plans to keep the work low key until 1975. 1975 would be the big year. Meanwhile, she wrote the numerous influential books, and in 1922, she wrote numerous influential books. And in 1922, established Lucifer Publishing and Lucifer Trust, later changed to Lucius Trust. Early in the 1930s, a couple named Edna and Guy Ballard received illumination and started the I Am movement. I hope you're listening. The Saint Germain Press publishes items such as the monthly periodical, The Voice of the I Am. Guy borrows much of his ideas from Alice Bailey, the Rosicrucians, and the Masons. Two of his books, Unveiled Mysteries and The Magic Presence, sound Masonic. His messages he received from the Great White Brotherhood seem like a regurgitation of what others had also received. Mark and Elizabeth Clare Prophet began as a spinoff of the I Am movement in the late 1950s. In 1958, they started Summit University to train initiates of their church. Initiates, you see. Of their church, Universal and Triumphant, which is CUT. The I Am movement feels that CUT stole their picture of Saint Germain and have started using a different picture in order to assert their separatistness. Even though they don't cooperate officially, the I Am movement and the Church Universal and Triumphant are nearly identical in beliefs. What has been covered is how the lineage of illumination has been passed down from generation to generation in a series of spin-offs. Although there is no publicly known connection between the Church Universal and Triumphant and the Masons, it will be worthwhile to examine this movement. Although the lineal descent is a direct one between CUT and the Masons, few people would on their own see any connection between the two. The Church Universal and Triumphant. It was the spring of 1990, and the Montanans in Paradise Valley were showing concern toward their new neighbors who had bought 33,000 acres
near Yellowstone National Park. How many acres did they buy? Unbelievable. Wilhelm Maria, an angry publisher, fights to save the valley called Paradise. People Weekly, December 24th, 1990, page 38. See also Reed, T.R., Montanans Feel Invaded by Survivalist Church. Tensions Rise Over Guru Ma Followers. The Washington Post, April 22nd, I call that the Washington Compost, April 22nd, 1990. Page A3, column 1. The National Park people were getting upset, too, at these new neighbors who called themselves Church Universal and Triumphant. Problems like the sect's fuel tanks leaking. And the park people had the park people unhappy. The National Parks, a periodical put out by the U.S. National Parks, discusses, in short, articles in the January and February and the July and August and the September and October issues, problems the Yellowstone National Park was having with cut. An ex-member, Kenneth Polini, who had served as the sect's security chief, was telling the newspapers that the sect could end up to be another Jonestown. Tex Mars gives his source as his source for this New Age, in the New Age Cults and Religions, page 171, an article in the Spokane Chronicle. However, an examination of the last few years of the Spokane Chronicle didn't reveal any such article. He did get the information from some source, apparently. This is one quote that I am not able to verify. The prophet's oldest daughter, Moira Lewis, what kind of name is that, folks, had to be thrown out of cut when it became apparent that she didn't believe in it. Now Moira Lewis was talking and talking to the cult, to the anti-cult ministries. I am El Moria. Elizabeth Clare Prophet's Christmas message read, "Through the ages, I have worn various guises and disguises. You know, you will know me as I stand beside you." She said she is El Moria, M-O-R-Y-A. And listen again. This was her Christmas message. She said, "Through the ages, I have worn various guises and disguises. You will know me as I stand beside you." So in other words, she's lived for a long time or many lives. And she's claiming she's a Christian, right? Now listen to this. This ought to really hit you just right. She said, "You will know me as I stand beside you with the legions of light who are implementing sound and the sound waves to counteract discord. All destructivity, disease, and death ere it to return to mankind, who have sent it forth with the suddenness of a woman's travail. My beloved brothers and sisters of the light, I address you as co-equals and co-inheritors of the mantle of God's will. I pray that without fear, with long-suffering and perseverance, you shall endure and fulfill your mission of this year and the decade to come. All of heaven is poised for the victory. We look to commune with you." Who is she speaking about? The legions of light. Who's the light bringer? And who are the illumined? And who is the hierarchy that would be externalized? All of heaven is poised for the victory. We look to commune with you, each one, directly through ultra-dimensional sound of elixir. May you who believe in angels and in the brothers in white, that's the white brotherhood, by the way, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For this is the hour of the coming of the Lord's Spirit in the manifold expressions of our legions, who are descending to earth on the glorious mission of the sons of God to raise up souls who are counted as the servants of the Lamb. Here we, again, we have a Gnostic religion using Christian jargon to deceive people. She's sort of prophesying here. And she said she has lived throughout the ages in different disguises. So she says, I am El Moria. Through the ages I have worn various guises and disguises. You will know me as I stand beside you in an answer to your call, by my vibration, by a certain knowing, a certain God determination, a certain will to move and be movers of men and mountains. You will know me by my impetus, which I give to you to act, act, act in the name of God to set the captives free. Well, Jesus already set the captives free before this time. Let us be up and doing, she said. I am with the I am that I am, who reveals himself to the outflowing and the inflowing of events. Children of the sun, be prime movers of fight and love the goodwill in time and space, and you will be with me held in the bonds of the eternal brotherhood. I hope you're listening. You see, imagine that this can go on, and imagine anyone would entertain this woman for even a minute. Because I'll tell you something right now, I certainly wouldn't. And I don't believe you would either. However, is it not amazing that people will try to do these? It's really demonic influence through people. In the spirit of Christmas, I am. For a Christmas wreath of light and a sound the world around, play this record on Christmas Day and be one with the brothers and sisters of the Love Ray. Remember, Alice Bailey wrote a book, The Seven Rays. Those rays are from the sun, their sunbeams, and I believe that that's how many rays are coming out of the Freemasonic structure in the harbor in New York with the torch. Semiramis, Lucifer, Diana, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. In an answer to your call by my vibration, by a certain knowing, a certain God determination, a certain will to move and be movers, she says it again, I am with the I am that I am in the spirit of Christmas. I am. Cut booklet with cover of Christ saying, arise, shine, for thy light has come. The booklet has a Christmas message and is accompanied with a record, Malibu, California, CUT 1969, page 7. El Moria is identified in cut literature as Chohan of the First Ray, Master of the Lodges of Perfection. Are you hearing? I mean, you know, is this not incredible what you're hearing right here? So in other words, this woman is claiming, she's claiming this is Christianity. She's claiming that she's the I am and with the I am and all that kind of stuff, right? Which you know can't be true. And she identifies herself as El Moria. See, El means, you know, a god or Elohim, you know what I mean? El Moria is identified in cut literature as Chohan of the First Ray, Master of the Lodges of Perfection. Cut brochure with a mountain scene with El Moria's words. The trek upwards is worth the inconvenience. On back, the messenger, E.C. Prophet. On the front, page 2, those familiar with masonry know what the Lodges of Perfection are. See, Albert Pike was involved with the Lodge of Perfection. See, man has become God. Okay, because this is the promise from Lucifer, the light bringer.
So what they do in all these things, in masonry and all these other things, man is becoming God as he steps up the ladder of these Gnostic religions and receives more and more light. Pretty soon he is a light bringer himself. But I want you to understand something. I want to tell you about something that I had seen that I've never seen before. I was watching this fellow there that talks about the octagon and all that stuff. And he was in some shop, and it showed a pharaoh, and it had a G with an F in it. And he didn't know what it meant, but I knew what it meant right away. See, G is the seventh letter of the alphabet. And F is the sixth. Seven and six is 13. That's what man perfected is. I told you before that man is six and that seven is the number of perfection. Six and seven is 13. Man becoming God. So that also made me realize that the G, which I know stands for the generative principle, for gematria, for God, and all these other things, it stands for perfection because it's the seventh letter of the alphabet. So at least I gleaned that much out of that. And doesn't that make sense to you? Man becoming God. You see, this is amazing stuff. And this all comes from the Lightbringer's promise to Eve in the garden. So it says, Elizabeth Clare Prophet is now running cut. She claims that El Moria, chief of the Darjeeling Council of the Great White Brotherhood, is using her to channel messages so that the earth can be raised once again into a golden age. Now, where have we heard about the golden age? We were taught that in this very book and from another book, The Watchtower and the Masons, correct? This golden age is the 1,000 years where Christ, where they all rule on the earth. See, the golden age. And that was the Watchtower Society. They teach their people of a good... When the fella came here, he told me about it. And he didn't tell me what it was called. I said it, and he was surprised. Elizabeth tells her followers, if you would like to be counted among the avant-garde who are advancing the cause of this revolution, and I call it devolution, remember I made up that word? Read and meditate upon El Moria's words. This quote is from the sixth paragraph on front. Elizabeth Clare Prophet not only has the name Prophet, but she claims to be one. Not only does she look divine, oh my God, I don't think so, at least in the photos released to the public, but she claims to be divine. Not only does she have weekly handouts called Pearls of Wisdom, quote unquote, but her third ex-husband, Randall King, that would be a Jewish name, reports she is getting wealthy from her followers, and that's not all. One of the first items that struck me about Elizabeth Clare Prophet's theology is how Masonic it sounded. Since Elizabeth Clare Prophet states she is continuing the Ballard's work, not with Mrs. Ballard's approval, though, it is not surprising that the two groups are alike. But the cut doesn't talk about any Masonic connections. Sure, they sell Masonic books, and they do use the Masonic temples for their meetings, but they make clear to her followers that even though Masonry is okay, her church is a big advancement over Masonic beliefs. Now, isn't that interesting? And here again, let me stop right here. You have people that are full of demonic activity here, right? She's obviously delving in demons, and she has demons inside of her. There's no doubt about that to me. And they have their meetings at the Masonic Hall, who all have demons inside of them.
And the Jehovah Witnesses have many meetings inside of Masonic halls, which they worship Jehovah, who is the devil, one of the devil's names. It's an hybrid name between mixed with the name of Yahweh and mixed with the word Lord. So it's a hybrid name. Do you think the Father would approve of him being called by Jehovah being a hybrid name? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I know so. Isn't this amazing? So you have to say that there are demons probably hanging around these places, and they're sort of mixing in with everybody. I mean, I believe that that's probably what's been going on, and you can see why they would all be going to the same kind of halls, right? Very convenient, right? Very friendly between each other while pretending to not recognize each other almost. So, he goes on here. The truth is, her teachings and the Ballards are just a rehash of Masonic beliefs. They even invoke or pray to the Masonic all-seeing eye as the Elohim Cyclopea. I hope you're listening. Their Knight Commander is Saint Germain. The Knight Commander has been used at various times by Cut in the Knight Commander Saint Germain. Knight Commander Saint Germain was supposedly, or he supposedly addressed Cut on May 3rd, 1981, and this is referred to in a letter by James W. McCaffrey, Cut Board of Directors. Since they do not see Saint Germain, but accept what their prophet channels, that their prophet channels his messages, it means that their Knight Commander is in reality the person supposedly channeling him. People in the I Am movement also study Masonic and Theosophical books for spiritual knowledge. Now let me stop right there. Saint Germain is known to be somebody who found the secret to eternal life, so that he has never died. Supposedly he was, they were looking into him when I was watching that about Jack the Ripper. They thought it was very possible that Saint Germain was doing these killings because Saint Germain has lived in bodies over time, and the way these things were done, they had some ways they linked it up to Saint Germain. So if you looked into Saint Germain, you'd also find that he's some Jew back in the Middle Ages who was very, I don't know, I read some of it before. You may go look at Wikipedia, or I don't really, you know, Wikipedia, I don't really believe because, I mean, I believe what's there sometimes, but they will get rid of the truth. So in other words, they're not totally, you know, okay. They're not totally legit. You can learn some things on there, though. So you might want to look up Saint Germain and understand who the character really is. So, is Cut part of an Illumined network? It is not inconceivable that this Illumined religion is part of the Illuminati network. Interestingly, the winged globe, which is the symbol of the Illuminati and Rosicrucians, is on the cover of Elizabeth Prophet's book, Teachings of the Ascended Masters. That's her book. The Rosicrucian belief is that the winged sun disk represents the Elysian Fields. Cut also believes in the Elysian Fields. Another link to the Illuminati is Cut's use of Enochian magic. Remember, John Dee is the one who created Enochian magic, and its seven planes. Seven rays, seven planes. Repeatedly, references to these seven planes of existence crop up in Cut in their inner teachings given to the fraternity of the Keepers of the Flame. Hello, the Keepers of the Flame. Those who come from the flame will return to the flame. Let's take a little break. This is an instrumental from my album Look to the Daysman, and the Daysman means mediator. You know who that is. Look to the Daysman. And this is an instrumental. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. If you like my shows, ladies and gentlemen, and you like what I'm doing, consider going to my site and giving me a donation to help me to be able to continue to keep doing these shows. Okay. Let's continue in this book. We're on page 151. Do you not find this amazing that people will actually go to these types of meetings? I just cannot believe how much of this world is Antichrist. How much that people want to lose, that they want to follow losers. They don't want to follow the Father, who's the all-time winner. They want to follow the all-time loser and his minions. And I just can never understand this. All under the authority of the Great White Brotherhood, Elizabeth Clare Prophet has emphatically made a big issue that she is following orders from the Great White Brotherhood. The Great White Brotherhood is the same group that Bailey, HPB, the Rosicrucians, and the Esoteric Masons follow. Note, they are following the same authority. The Masonic book, Ancient Mystic Oriental Masonry, 1907, written based on information from the highest Masonic authorities, states on page 79, the underlying principle, 114. Quote, the ancient wisdom religion is the thread soul on which are strung all the various incarnations and encasements of the religious life. Are you listening to this? Begotten by that spiritual hierarchy, the Great White Brotherhood, in whose guardianship is the evolution of the human race. The next page tells how the Great White Brotherhood is known in ancient mystical Oriental Masonry as the, listen to this, the 11th degree. Their father is number 9, and they are number 11. Again, let me read this. The next page tells how the Great White Brotherhood is known in ancient mystic Oriental Masonry as the 11th degrees. 11th degree. Is this a blind? Fritz questions. Students of the Supreme Initiation will see the beautiful philosophy of initiation by the Count M. de Saint Vincent, an illumined chief of one of the occult branches of the English Masonic Lodge of Rosicruciana in Anglia called Stella Matutina. This fellow left it and became a Christian. This ex-chief's book, Light Bearers of Darkness, clearly details how the Juilluminati, or the Illumined Ones, are led by the Great White Lodge, and that the Illumined Ones in that day, 1930, were far more powerful than people imagined, and that they were in all kinds of groups. These secret societies, formed when needed, are detached into groups distinct and apparently opposed, professing respectively and in turn the most contrary opinions of the day, so as to direct, apart and with confidence, all parties, political, religious, economic, and literary. Now let me stop that right there. That's from Light Bearers of Darkness, page 2. This is how the Jews control both sides of the narrative. Listen again what he says right here. These secret societies formed, try to listen this time, please. These secret societies formed when needed are detached into groups distinct and apparently opposed. You've got the Hegelian dialectic? Professing respectively and in turn the most contrary opinions of the day. So in other words, I believe in abortion. Well, this other group over here doesn't believe in abortion. So if you don't believe in abortion, you should join that other group, right? So what does he say? What is the purpose of these things being contrary to one another? So as to direct, apart and with confidence, all parties, political, religious, economic, and literary. Another follower of the occult, Tal Brook, who was the top Western disciple of India's miracle-working God-man Sai Baba, also like the Stella Matutina chief, became a Christian and also wrote a book. Sounds like a little too much of a pattern to me, but whatever. He also wrote a book, When the World Will Be as One, warning people about Elizabeth Clare Prophet, the Fabians, the New Age agenda, and the Masons who are promoting it. The highest Masonic authorities teach that illumination, like Elizabeth Clare Prophet practices, was part of the mystery religions. I hope you're listening. Elizabeth Clare Prophet often uses the Illuminati three-dot symbol when she signs her initial. How ironic that her teachings are being passed off as so fresh and new, yet are the very ancient superstitions that men practiced long ago. She's sort of a modern-day Semiramis from Babylon, bringing back the mystery religions, you see. I don't know which three-dot symbol this is, but I'll tell you that it probably, the third dot represents perhaps the third eye. In the secret teachings of all ages, the mysteries taught that spiritual illumination was attained only by bringing the lower nature up to a certain standard of efficiency and purity. The mysteries were therefore established for the purpose of unfolding the nature of man according to certain fixed rules which, when faithfully followed, elevated the human consciousness to a point where it was capable of cognizing its own constitution and the true purpose of existence. This knowledge of spiritual illumination constituted the secret or esoteric doctrine of antiquity. Certain apparently physical organs and centers are in reality the veils or sheaths of the spiritual center. Thus, again, the third eye. That's where the Indians put their dot in the middle, you know, above their eyes. You see? This is the issue at stake here. Is Cut a man-made or demonic authority, and therefore a false authority, or is it Almighty God's authority? I think you all know the answer to that. Although Cut claims to be Christian and uses the Bible, it advocates and teaches magic. For instance, see, in other words, this is another Gnostic religion being mixed with Christianity. Where did we just learn about all that? And who is behind that? The Jews are behind that. They, throughout the Middle Ages and all through time, have mixed the Gnostic religions with Christianity. See, this is to destroy Christianity. When you mix something, it becomes an abomination. And then you take away a certain amount of people there that would have believed in Christian beliefs probably, and now you've neutralized them or spiritually killed them. So, we seek to raise the veil upon the wonderful world of cosmic magic, she says. The magic of believing in the power of the original intent, which may be then blazed as the all-consuming love of God. Pearls of Wisdom, 326, 67, page 3. Another example is Pearls of Wisdom, 625, 67, front page, a.k.a. page 53. Now, you see, it almost sounds like the Magic Kingdom of Disney, too, doesn't it? I mean, after all, Disney advocates and teaches magic, doesn't it? And doesn't it raise the veil upon the wonderful world of cosmic magic? You see how it all works together? You see how it all links together? It is not the job of this book to enlist the reader to champion this author's religious doctrinal understandings. The issue is more important than that. A worldwide authority is being created through the actions of separate nodes of a spin of spins. This authority plans to someday be absolute. They will cleanse the world like Hitler's... Oh, boy. Final Solution of the Jews, which is fake. Hundreds of people who have come out of Cut or had family members in it are warning that this is a deception that has destroyed people's lives. Remember what I just said a little while ago? And families. Judging on the basis of where Cut came from, who they are friends with, and what Masonic and Illuminati tactics are, it is a safe bet that there is some kind of collaboration at the top by Elizabeth Clare Prophet with secret societies. Like I said, they're going to the same hall. They're friendly, very friendly with one another, while pretending they're distant. Indications are that it is part of a vast scheme to establish a one-world government. Elizabeth Clare Prophet has no problem getting on the radio and getting publicity. Obviously, she has connections. Yeah, her Jewish husband, Mr. King. Although she heralds her own group as the Church, she has appeared with other New Age leaders on talk radio shows. She does seem to work with them on some level. Her Summit University started in 1958, Pearls of Wisdom. On the back pages, for example, July 31, 1977, volume 20, number 31, blah, 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 is not shabby. Her fraternity of keepers of the flame, quote unquote, as she calls her initiates, learn such things as astrology, crystals, white magic, Hinduism, reincarnation, karma, meditation, and chakra points. That eye is one of the chakra points, the third eye. How to decree, how to dress, and how to become divine at Summit University. Her religion itself is quite organized with several presses, computer operators, Montessori preschool, elementary, and high school people, cooks, accountants, planning and development people, purchasing, and the whole nine. yards. Isn't that interesting? There's one of those sayings, and the whole 9 yards. 9 times 3 is 27, too. 999. I know those people hate that when I do that. You know what I mean? How does she finance all her expensive advertising and constant traveling? How did her husband and her finance things in the beginning when they established Summit University, and their headquarters in Colorado Springs, and their houses in Santa Barbara? Details about Elizabeth Clare Prophet and her organization are hard to come by. If she can keep recruiting new people, her finances may do all right. If a person gets serious about being part of her organization, then they are expected to make a once-in-a-lifetime gift of everything they have to the cut, controlled by Elizabeth Clare Prophet. Everything they have to give. How do you like that? Slick, ain't it? It has the smell of Jewry all over it. The keepers of the flame were told, "We don't have any dollars to increase our staff." Oh, by the way, let me get this before that. In return for all this that they are supposed to do, this is what they get. They are initiated into what I call the supreme grand flattery. That's what Fritz calls it. You shall become an enlightened god. So if you give everything to them and are faithful to this organization, you shall become an enlightened god. The promise of Lucifer from the garden. She's sort of a modern-day Eve who never repented, like Eve eventually repented. In other words, she's gotten the promise of the devil to become a god. She believes she is and has said she is. And now she's making that promise to her followers. When students are invited onto staff, it is a commitment. They are told your life will never be your own again. But was it ever your own? They have already been taught ascension keys, quote unquote. Elizabeth Clare Prophet tells her students that to ascend to Godhead is their birthright. And that source is Pearls of Wisdom, Volume 10, Number 23, June 4, 1967. The Summit Lighthouse, page 41. Amazing, is it not? The Summit has robbed men of the birthright of their ascension, the divine right of every person. Pearls of Wisdom, Volume X, you know, blah, 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 blah. The divine right, this is all the sayings of hers. The divine right is the immortal plan, inherent pattern of unique Christ manifestation. Let me stop right there. Christ manifestation. This is not Jesus Christ or the Anointed One. This is Christ manifestation. Where does that come from? The secret doctrine of Masonry is we are all on our way to becoming Christ. Just like here, they're becoming God. That means you're becoming God. And they say it's just like Jesus was. He was another one of these enlightened, illumined ones who is also on his way to becoming Christ and becoming God. That's what they claim. You see? And the lost word of Freemasonry is the Christ within. The same thing right here. Alice Bailey is waiting for the Christ to return, to come. Not Jesus Christ. The Maitreya. You see how it all connects? The divine right is the immortal plan, inherent pattern of unique Christ manifestation. In the ascension dossier of Serapis Bay, they are told, the capacity of the externalized self must be given in toto. Totally, that means, I believe. You must abandon your past to God. In Lanello's message, a channeled message for 2073, the students are told, "You do not have to wait for the carnal mind to evolve, for the carnal mind will never evolve. It must be put off and cast into the flame." I hope you're listening. In Serapis' Ascension class, they are told, "The Ascension flame is the flame of Mother. Men prove the law by doing the law. They see truth by becoming truth." This is from a dossier. "All things are relative except the absolute." El Moria Ascension class covering the Ascension keys. There are many interesting parallels between Cut and the Watchtower Society. Both make a big show of being against the system. The United Nations and the people uniting the world. However, neither group mentions the Masons in connection with plans to bring in a one-world state. The religious side of the one-world power cannot be understood without an awareness of Freemasonry. While supposedly warning their adherents of those men who control the world, both Cut and the Watchtower Society carry out a systematic program to condition their people to believe in the soon-to-come golden age, and are training people how to act in it. Remember, she was teaching her students how to act divine and how to dress divine? Let me take a sip of coffee. I mean, this is just astounding. Can you imagine being in an organization like this? Thank the Father that he drew many people out of it, and may he draw all of them out of it. I don't think she's alive anymore, but I mean, I think the organization is still going. I'm not sure. But it's bad news, as you can see. It is this writer's conviction that it is not so critically dangerous to the one-world state, for these people know something of what is happening because their leadership, who they blindly follow, are part of the one-world religion. According to Cut, Jesus was Chohan. Listen now. Jesus was Chohan of the age that ended. Now a new cycle is started with Sanat in charge, which is a scrambling of Satan, S-A-N-A-T. But listen again. Many will come in my name, right? Claiming they're Jesus, right? Well, she claims she is El Moriah, who is Chohan. And Jesus, they say that Jesus was Chohan of the age that ended. So in other words, she's the new Jesus Christ. That's exactly what she's saying. You can see that clearly, right? Because she's El Moriah Chohan. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all right in front of all of us. It's amazing. You know, it's funny that he says this, but that's the way it is. This is why I tell you to follow Yahweh. Don't follow men or institutions. It says right here, listen, it is this writer's conviction that it's not so critically dangerous to the one world state, for these people know something of what is happening. Listen, because their leadership, who they blindly follow, are part of the New World Order, or the One World Religion. According to Cut, Jesus was Chohan of the age that ended. Now a new cycle is starting with Sanat in charge. And this Sanat is the same name that Alice Bailey, Sanat Kumara. Pearls of Wisdom, March 26, 67, Summit Lighthouse, page 1. Elizabeth Prophet writes about the coming Armageddon. There is a certain sense in America that it can't happen here, that somehow we are a favored or chosen people, that we will not go in the way of Rome or Atlantis or a Lemuria, that somehow it will be different. And yet collectively, as far as the entire consciousness of the earth goes, we are Lemuria, Atlantis, Babylon, Assyria, Rome, come again. We are the melting pot and the descendants of all of these movements. We speak of the age of Pisces as the 2000 cycle of Jesus Christ. that is coming to its conclusion, and we feel the winds of a new age that is called Aquarius. Remember the idiots, hippies? The age of Aquarius. The age. Maybe they were talking about queers, too. Aquarius. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the state of the world is perilous. The coming, then, of the four horsemen is actually the prophecy of a planetary initiation. Unbelievable. These people are unbelievable. Those horsemen could not ride except by the flow of events, by the karma of the people. They are bringing to our very doorstep the forces that we have set in motion as a planet, as mankind, for centuries. Prophet Elizabeth Clare. Prophecy for the 1980s, Los Angeles, California, Summit University Press, 1982. Paragraphs quoted from page 24, page 10, and 12, respectively. And so the great initiator of life stands before us and says, "These are the causes, cause of disaster in Armageddon, you have set in motion." Speaking to humanity, he says. What Elizabeth Clare Prophet has just said is that the people of the world are creating the forces to bring about Armageddon. It is their karma. A great initiator is waiting for the time of planetary initiation. Jesus Christ's time is past. The leadership has passed to another Chohan. I hope you're listening. I know I say that, but I hope you're listening. In spite of all the time Kut spends teaching its people about the conspiracy of the communists, the international financiers, the CFR, etc., when Elizabeth Prophet makes statements like this above, she is shifting the blame for wars and World War III from those who control the world to the common people. If she only succeeds in this propaganda ploy, she will have accomplished a great favor to the one world state. See, in other words, what she's also doing is mixing the truth movement with a nut organization. And mixing Christianity with a nut organization, with Gnostic religion and crazy ideas and aliens and all these different things. See, the reason why the George Norrie show was so successful, which the former was Art Bell, the purpose of that whole thing was to mix the conspiracy people, what they were finding out about the truth, or the truth movement, so-called, with the alien movement, which discredits the truth movement. Now, I've just seen recently Andrew Carrington Hitchcock has now begun to speak about aliens all of a sudden. And he's very interested in it all of a sudden. And it seems he's going to be mixing that with the... So he's not really the truth anyway, but let's just pretend he is. He doesn't defend the kingdom, doesn't care about the kingdom. It's all just words. You see? No sooner does he get a promotion that now he's speaking on things that he shouldn't be doing. He's been warned that you don't mix the alien movement with the truth movement, that that's exactly what the powers that be want to do. But he's willing to do anything to become king for a day. And he's going to be very sorry for that. It's his own fault. So, in other words, what you see here is you see this so-called religion, which is a Gnostic religion mixed with Christianity and Masonry and everything else. She's out there telling the truth about the international financiers and the CFR and the conspiracy of the communist Jews. She doesn't say Jews, though. You see, this is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you discredit the truth movement, is by mixing, another mixing again. The common people of the world are not directing world events. For instance, it was not the common people of either Iraq, Kuwait, nor the U.S. that had anything to do with Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield. In fact, Months before Kuwait was invaded, the Trilateral Commission had decided at the White House that Iraq was to be the focus of a disarmament program. As nothing was attempted politically, it was clear that they had planned a military disarmament program. Initiates received a letter. Keeper of the Flame. So each one of those initiates is called a Keeper of the Flame. See? The need for harmony and love between all the master's servants, united in a common effort, cannot be overemphasized. Working and serving together, we form a mandala of light through which the masters of the Great White Brotherhood will awaken humanity. Letter by Cut Chairman of the Outreach Committee, Michael Vase, to the Fraternity of the Keepers of the Flame, the Brotherhood of the Keepers of the Flame. Capturing by Using Fear. Cut is a New Age religion designed to catch the conservative elements that would shun most New Age groups. Cut preaches against communism, the feminist movement, abortion, drugs, the Trilateral Commission, the bankers, and uncontrolled immigration from Mexico. It is in favor of survivalist tactics, political activism, wearing business suits, and looking clean cut. Get it, cut? If one looks at where they have concentrated their activities, one notices they have worked in some very conservative Western areas, Colorado, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Arizona. California is also an important center of activity, but hardly a bastion of conservatism. When I contemplated the hoax that Church Universal and Triumphant is apparently carrying out among the conservatives in the Western United States, I was reminded of a fishing trip years ago. 1969, several Germans and I went out to a small German island in the North Sea. We strung a net across a river, went downstream, and then entered into the river. We walked upstream toward the net, and the fish were afraid of being caught by us. They swam into the net. We reached the net, pulled the net to shore, and filled two large baskets full of big, good-tasting flounder. It is one of my favorite fishing trips. The people in the Western United States are like these flounder. They are aware that the big powers are trying to control their lives. They're trying to get away from the one world state power. So what do? They swim right into the very conservative cut and are easy pickings for the one world religion. To gain the great advantages of Hegelian philosophy, the one world power has been behind both extremes. But this can only work if the people being deceived and manipulated don't realize that the same people are behind the different groups. Shows something here. It says, Planet Earth, the future is to the gods. And it has Elizabeth Clare Prophet's book on there. One thing that Elizabeth Clare Prophet may be commended upon is her willingness to give some of the best occult knowledge to her followers. In her catalog, she sells Raymond Bernard's The Hollow Earth. An ex-high-level New Age disciple, Troy Lawrence, tells us that the masses are told Shambhala, the home of the spirit masters, is in Tibet. But the initiated know something different. They know that Shambhala is the region of the hollow earth, the spiritual region where the king of the world and his master dwell. The spirit masters have told the highest level occultists who are sold out to them that the earth is hollow. For instance, Pam Davis was told by a spirit, "Do you not know that the center of your earth? It is not that which has been spoken of by your scientists. The bubbling of molten rocks. It is beauteous. It is the home for thousands upon thousands of beings that have lived there in totality of harmony and understanding of love. The Power of One, Lifetimes, Winter 86-87, page 84. Elizabeth Clare Prophet is infatuated with the Great Pyramid like HPB and Charles Taze Russell. She has produced an illustrated program with 8 cassettes entitled A Retreat on the Ascension, which includes lectures on the inner mysteries of the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid has long been held by esoteric groups as an initiation center. Some confidential sources, speak of gaining godlike power from the pyramid. The occult leaders of the One World Power have held that the Great Pyramid's King's Chamber is an initiation center for godhood. This is why people like Crowley and many of the people you've heard of spent one night alone inside of the pyramid, believing they would become a god, you see, as it says here. Cut teachings are heralded as spiritual wisdom uniting the East and the West. Quote from the Banner of Pearls of Wisdom. The idea of being the religion of unity between East and West is heralded by Cut in other places too. The teachings, supposedly from the Ascended Masters, our brew of Hinduism, now listen, this is again mixing. It's mixing something together, or many things. Listen very carefully. The teachings, supposedly from the Ascended Masters, are a brew of Hinduism with Buddhist thought and Christian terminology. Add a heavy dose of Mariology from the Catholics, with Fatima, and sprinkle in bits and pieces of other things from other sources and stir this brew, and you will come up with Cut's beliefs. They basically are another Gnostic mystery cult where the one identifies Cut as having the I Am movement's beliefs or masonries, or the Gnostic mysteries is perhaps moot. They are all about the same. Let's look at some of the similarities of Cut with masonry before Cut was even thought of. See, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing that everything that becomes an abomination is something that's been mixed? Hybridism. The world promotes hybridism today, do they not? Hybrid cars, hybrid drinks, hybrid people, hybrid governments, hybrid animals to represent political parties, hybrid religions. And hybrid priesthoods, all this stuff, and they're all an abomination because the Father doesn't go for this mixing. And even without mixing, Gnostic religions are, you know, an abomination. The Heavenly Father has planted none of this. The Heavenly Father has not planted Cain, but he allowed it to happen. And he watched Cain walk away, knowing what would be later. See, this is what I'm talking about with the Apostle Paul. You don't think that when Jesus was down here teaching these disciples and spending his living, you know, it says that the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. He has no home. He was homeless. And he's teaching and suffering and teaching his disciples all these things, while he doesn't know that after he dies and is resurrected that there's going to be an Apostle Paul that's going to come and try to take over the Christianity and destroy things. See, he didn't spend any time teaching Paul. He didn't tell any of these other disciples anything about Paul. And with the 24 elders, where is Paul? They replaced Judas with Matthias. So where is Paul in all of this in reality? You don't think the Father knew about Paul before Paul even was born? I suppose you believe that the light that he saw on the road to Damascus was Jesus, but it wasn't. I mean, you see that it's mixing. Paul talks about the mysteries. It's mixing. Bring in everybody. Everybody's welcome into the kingdom now. Everybody can come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come on, one and all. All you have to do is say a little prayer and say that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're in. And that's exactly what took place in Ephesus. Anybody who ascribed to the name of Jesus Christ became an apostle. But we'll find out about that soon. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, what has taken place. And with just a little bit of common sense and just a little bit of investigation historically and biblically, what you will be able to find. I wanted to know, and I believe I do know, what has destroyed Christianity and put it in its current weak state. It's practically paralyzed. Can you see it? Do you want to know? Would you like to help me try to repair that? Now, that's a big goal, I understand. Only the Father really can repair it. But sooner or later, we have to understand what the problem is before we can solve what the problem is. See, you have to understand, identify the problem, so that you can begin to take steps to reverse the problem or restore the Father's healthy gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom. The unhealthy gospel is reigning at this point and has been for a very long time, and it's brought forth many, many, many bad fruits. This should be thought about. Think about the fruits of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll see that there's a big difference. And just as always, the Father's ways are the right ways. I hope you're enjoying all this learning. I hope you will take it seriously. Be ye followers of the Father in heaven. Be ye strong in Him. Have a relationship with Him. Count on Him. Pray to Him. Thank Him. Love Him. Obey Him. If you do all of that, you can't go wrong. No way, no how. You've been listening to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.